Are slugs just homeless snails? What happens when you drink human tears? All of these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life! Hey! Yo! Welcome everyone to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week we investigate a brand new paranormal tale and come to the conclusion as to whether or not it is truly paranormal. My name is Rory Powers. Across from me sits Obsidian Greer.
That's right, Rory.
How are you doing today, Obsidian?
I'm doing great, Rory. Glad to be here.
Changing up the voice as well.
No, I've always talked like this, Rory. A manly, authoritative voice.
Actually,
and there'll be less of you talking over me this week.
I've actually got a clip here from an old episode.
What?
Of your voice, so...
No, we don't need to hear that.
I'm just going to hit play on
this.
I'm Kit, I'm a little boy.
Wow. Good thing I'm not called Kit anymore.
I do appreciate that you have changed your tone for this episode, because I too will be changing the tone of the episode.
Really?
We said, you know, it's a comedy podcast. We like to tackle the paranormal with wit and comedy.
Yeah.
Present it to you.
Mechanism,
exactly.
If you will.
No one wants to just be jumped by a ghost. They want the ghost to tell a joke first. But there's no time for jokes in today's episode, folks. It's going to be a serious one.
It's about goddamn time. The listeners at home have had it too easy for too long. They need to learn something for once.
Yeah, they need to be scared straight. This isn't so much as an episode as we're just going to break into one of y'all's houses. You're going to hear a window smash in about 5 seconds.
This is live. This is someone's living nightmare.
You're not actually playing anything. You're just overhearing us in your closet.
Wow, they've really gone crazy with the 3D audio on this one. I didn't know you could do that in a podcast.
Our story today takes us to 1942, and we're in the icy wilderness of the Himalayas.
Nice.
A young forest guard treks through the snowy mountains on his daily patrol. These were, of course, war times, and as this region was British-owned, the constant fear that Japanese soldiers would stealthily invade plagued the minds of Uttarakhand residents. The forest guard wandered through the hills looking for anything suspicious, but he could never have been prepared for what he discovered that day. He stopped at the peak of an icy hilltop, using the altitude to scan his surroundings. As he glanced down towards the bottom of a small valley, he noticed a large, dark patch of ice. It looked like a small lake that had frozen over, and at the edge was some sort of object sealed in the ice. The guard carefully made his way down the valley to investigate. As he approached the edge of the icy lake, the object was clear. It was a human skeleton. The forest guard jumped back in fear. What the hell? Sealed in the ice around this skeleton were even more bones, enough that it looked like there was no way it was all from the same skeleton.
Whoa.
The guard turned back and ran back to camp as fast as he could. Unfortunately, not that fast, it turns out, because the lake is 16,000 feet above sea level in the treacherous Himalayan mountains.
He also ate right before this happened. It was really unfortunate.
He's a little bloated, sure.
He also injured his foot that week. It was very, very not timely. It was like a slow grandparents' walk.
They shouldn't have sent him out, really.
No.
Not after just eating. When he got back to camp, he told his superiors what he saw. A skeleton, maybe two or three, frozen in the lake. Now, as I said, this was during World War II, so immediately they assumed that these were the frozen remains of a group of Japanese soldiers who had tried to secretly invade through the mountains. So they decided to send out a group of forensic investigators to find out the cause of the death. Very smart so far.
Yeah, this is a very measured response.
Going straight to men of science to investigate skeletons. Rather than wizards.
It definitely like speaks to the craziness of the times, the terrifying times that people lived in. The fact that when someone came back to the village and announced what they'd just seen, they were like, yeah, that's probably that band of Japanese soldiers that got lost a couple weeks back. Like, if you have an explanation for what happened or pre-ready, like,
yeah.
You live in pretty turbulent times.
Yeah, it's nice that reporting this case isn't as dramatic as some of the cases we've had in the past where, you know, you got to go tell an officer of the law that you were shanked by an alien gray.
Yeah.
That's a harder conversation.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're not going to believe this. You got to tell them we're not only not alone in the universe, but the motherfucker has a knife and he's on Main Street. Whereas this situation is like, hey, this is weird.
Yeah.
But it's not paranormal. It's just a skeleton, maybe two or three in a lake.
Yeah, which is important. And that's why I've been campaigning for the police to add those options whenever you report a crime. Is this human crime? Is this like unexplained mystery Netflix shit? Or is this actually paranormal?
Skeleton crime.
Because
the two tiers.
It's a skeleton army coming back from the dead to murder us. Because we need to know that up front.
It will save me a lot of time the phone.
That just gets added to the top of the list of paperwork. You know, we can get to the bike theft later in the day.
Because if I call them up, I'm so startled by the situation. All I can make out is just bones! Bones!
Sorry, is that a bonus episode?
No! Bones! Whereas if they knew before they picked up the phone, it's a skeleton crime. They go in with the mindset, this man is being attacked by skeletons.
Yeah.
It's easier for all of us, really. The only problem was, as the weather changed, the frozen lake began to melt. The guards came back to discover it wasn't just a couple skeletons. This lake was full of skeletons.
There was no water. There was no ice. It was all bones.
I do say lake. It's 90% skeletons. There were skeletons floating in the water, skeletons washed up on the shore.
Whoa.
Allegedly, an examination showed there were possibly up to 800 skeletons in this lake. If I see this, I'm going to drop to my knees and pray to the skeleton god.
Yeah.
It's all over. In 30 seconds, I'm probably going to be one of those skeletons.
Odds are.
It's done. You're done. You're absolutely done.
You are the needle in the skeleton stack. No one's ever going to find you. It's over.
Could you imagine being one of the guards that gets dragged up here? And he's like, well, here it is. You'd just be like, why the f*** did you bring me up here? What do you think
we can both do? Curse.
Did you think I had the answer to why there's 800 skeletons in a lake? You need to talk to the guy up there.
It's above everyone's pay grade. I mean, that's a theme we see in lots of kind of, you know, movies with, I don't know, where the odds of nature are so stacked against humans. Take like Godzilla, for example. You know, the army is like fighting back against Godzilla. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
There's no hope.
It doesn't do anything. I don't know why they'll try the gun once and it'll kind of bounce off them, make them a little angry and roar at you. And they're like, this is insane.
Yeah.
We need 200 men down on that road. It's like, it's still, they've all got guns.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to hurt him. You got to start doing weird shit like covering him in mayonnaise. You don't know what's going to happen. You need to think like crazy and go outside the box.
At the same time, I do appreciate it would be hard as an army general to receive the call that Godzilla's coming to town. Mm-hmm. And they're like, general, what do we do? And he's like, f*** it. There's no hope. It's like,
you're a bad general.
There's no hope. Everyone stand on. Send in our weirdest guys with the weirdest ideas. Hopefully one of them will get lucky.
That's such a bad general. That shouldn't be your attitude when anything dangerous happens.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we just got reports that Al-Qaeda are actually moving in the Middle East. Oh, Jesus. Send in the fucking mayonnaise guy. Maybe, I don't know, a dude who has too many cats. Why? What do you think they're going to be able to do? I don't know.
Sir, the mayonnaise guy says he doesn't really want to go and he thinks we should send the regular army. It's like, well, he's pretty smart. We should probably listen to him.
We should listen to him. Would you like to see a picture of the skeleton lake?
I didn't know we'd get to. I'm very excited to see this photo.
Oh, yeah. So this is more the lake when the water has pretty much...
You're trying to tell me there's no water?
It's a pile of bones.
There's bones. I can't believe I perfectly predicted this.
Look, global warming is real, folks. And this bad boy dried up.
Global warming is real, and it is being perpetrated by a skeleton army. They are evaporating the oceans. Guys, this is some frosty, hard, rocky ground covered in countless human bones.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
There's no lake, there's no water, there's nothing like that.
Yeah. The creepiest part was that because these skeletons had, of course, been preserved in the ice, some of them still had flesh and hair on their bones.
Holy moly. So they probably didn't even have any idea, any frame of reference for when they might have died.
No, because obviously, you know, things can be preserved in ice for a very long time. They could have, you know, just slipped in there and decomposed last year. They could have been there for 500 years. What's even more disturbing is that out of all of these skeletons, and as I said, there's about 800 of them, not one of them was found intact.
Oh, so they're all messed up. Damn. Like all separated out.
Bashed about, bones everywhere. That dude's got three arms coming out his ass. This guy's got three heads taped onto a foot.
Jesus, man. It's almost as if there was some kind of skeleton explosion scattering skeletons for miles.
Now, there were a lot of theories as to how all these skeletons ended up in the lake. A landslide, possibly. A huge ancient ritualistic sacrifice. Maybe some sort of plague. A skeleton bomb, like you mentioned previously. But because of how dangerous a journey it was to get to the lake, very little research was done at the site over the years. Weirdly, not a lot of scientists want to hike the Himalayas to see the Skeleton Lake. I feel like if there's an option, they might choose a different project to work on.
Yeah.
You know, the professor will be like, all right, we need someone to go to the Bahamas to, you know, do a project researching the tropical vegetation that exists only on the Golden Coast.
Yeah.
And we also need a small team to go hike the Himalayas to the cursed Skeleton Lake. Emphasis on the skeleton, less on the lake part. It's borderline a pile of bones. You might die on the way there. So there's just that to think about.
You got to hike to the top of Skeleton Mountain to reach Skeleton Lake. The mountain and the lake wouldn't exist if there weren't so many skeletons either. It's just a mound of skeletons leading to a soup of skeleton remains.
Like, all right, so you just got to pick one of the projects out of a hat. So like two guys pick it out. They're both Skeleton Mountain. I knew you guys wouldn't go if you...
I knew you guys wouldn't pick out of the hat if there wasn't some chance of the Golden Coast.
The professor's a skeleton. You got to pick an option out of my skull. Like, we should
listen, I'd love to go, but I went last year. Well, it didn't work out very well for you, did it?
No. I was a skeleton beforehand. It's totally safe.
No, that's our Mallorca. That is our holiday location of choice. I mean, we already know that Mount Everest in the Himalayas already has a Rainbow Road. Rainbow Road is really a trail where so many dead bodies are still there wearing their multicolored snow jackets that it looks like a road of rainbows.
Is that true?
Yes.
That is so grim.
So we already know that they have to twist the names of things to get people to go up the mountain.
Yeah. So for this thing to be called Skeleton Lake,
there's no hiding it.
That's the spin. To be fair, it is not called Skeleton Lake. It's called Rupkund Lake. Rupkund is skeleton, by the way, in Indian. Well, it wasn't until 2004 until a team of scientists managed to examine the remains and whatever DNA was preserved in the ice. The bodies they examined dated back to around 850 BC.
Holy smokes.
DNA evidence suggested that they were a group of closely related individuals. Found in the lake was also rings, spears, leather shoes, all supporting the theory that this was possibly one large tribe. For now, it seemed like the mystery had been solved. Until 2019
BC. They went back in time to solve the mystery.
2019 BF, before flesh, when skeletons roamed the earth.
Before humans were fish in the ocean, they were skeletons in the lake.
That was evolution. Skeletons, humans came from the lake as skeletons and basically got flesh over the years.
It makes sense when you think about it, guys.
So as I said, 2019 saw an international team of around two dozen archaeologists and other specialists retrieving 37 more skeletons from the lake for examination. First off, don't take skeletons from the lake.
Yeah.
That seems like the one thing you should not do in the Skeleton Lake. Add more, fine. You could probably piss in the lake for all I... They probably don't care. It's a lake full of skeletons. Do not take skeletons from the lake and bring them back to your lab or your home.
Because then you have approximately 763 skeletons that want their homies back.
Exactly.
They are coming for you and they are walking and they are slowly climbing down Skeleton Mountain to hunt you down. I mean, you're just never going to sleep properly after you take all those skeletons, are you? You're going to be like in bed at 1 a.m. You're like, all right, I have to get up. I have to go to the research center. I just make sure that none of them have got up from under their little medical
sheet,
blanket.
Yeah.
Because I just can't shake the idea that they are planning revenge.
You go there, everything's fine. You're like, all right, I guess it's fine. I should probably go home. I gotta smash them. I have to smash the skeletons. I think they're gonna come to life and strangle me in my sleep. The rest of the assistants like arrive in the morning and you're just like standing in the lab with a hammer. Like, what the hell happened here? It was only a matter of time.
I'm sure one of them looked at me. I'm sure of it.
Well, they took the 37 skeletons from the lake, brought them to a lab, examined them all. But ironically, their attempt to get to the bottom of Skeleton Lake only made things more confusing. The team of scientists discovered that yes, the majority of the bodies did die around 1,000 years ago, but not at the same time. And even weirder, tests show that a number of the deceased likely passed away as recently as the early 1800s.
Holy moly, so these skeletons range from over 2,000 years apart.
Yeah. Even weirder, the heritage of some of the bodies didn't make sense. It was as if they were completely geographically misplaced.
Skeleton bomb is what you're saying.
Skeleton bomb, my friend. This is like finding a little hobbit skeleton in Mordor. They don't belong there. It's weird.
Thanks for bringing things down to my level, bud.
Now, what if I told you it got even weirder?
Okay, I'm listening.
Examination of the bodies revealed that a lot of them all died the same way. Blow to the head with a blunt object.
Where the f*** is this? Is this in like Genghis Khan's like backyard or like what? This is so bizarre.
It's one of the weirdest stories.
2,000 years, 800 skeletons all with a blow to the head.
In the Himalayan wilderness as well, not like near a civilization. These skeletons are all in a lake in the middle of nowhere.
I just love to think of the archaeologists involved in this, some junior archaeologists. And, you know, whenever they were at university and their family and friends were like, Keith, look, I know you're obsessed with Indiana Jones. I know you love dinosaurs. I know you think like archaeology, it's going to be all like cracking whips and solving mysteries. It's really boring. There's not a lot to it. It's just a lot of like dusting off bits of dirt.
This is like two guys walking in the Himalayan mountains, like a mentor talking to the new guy.
Really? We don't think anything is going to be here. But anyway, just run this girl. Oh my God! 800 skeletons frozen in ice! Oh!
I'm turning into one! He looks down, his flesh is melting from his bones.
Keith, run! Tell the university! Solve the mystery!
Make sure my story has been I am back to my original form.
Join us, it feels amazing.
So as I said, a lot of these skeletons all died the same way, a blow to the head with a blunt object. But the dents in the skulls seem to be...
They all died the same way, crushed to death by another skeleton.
Cause of death, skeleton avalanche. The last skeleton to fall was the only one that just died of a heart attack because no one crushed him. I like that every bit of information only makes things more confusing.
Yeah, totally.
Usually, as a story goes on and more evidence piles up, you sort of get a picture as to what happened. Next, like, a paragraph down, I'm going to be like, one of them had a fucking clown wig on.
Yeah,
no idea what's going on.
This is like a jigsaw puzzle where every jigsaw piece you add just makes two other pieces just evaporate. Like, what the fuck? I can't solve this thing, man.
Yeah, it's like an old jigsaw from the attic where the pieces are missing. You're trying to put like a peanut in one of the holes. And then when you do get it together, the picture's a skeleton. So it really wasn't worth making in the first place.
Each piece is a picture of a skeleton. It's like, you put the final one in, you're like, it's a skeleton lake. Of course. You should have seen that coming.
But the dents in the skulls seemed to not be from a weapon, but instead something rounded.
Okay.
To make things more confusing, these were the skeletons of not only men, but women and children. Meaning that this wasn't some sort of army that had got caught up in a battle.
Right, that's a good point to make.
The bodies had wounds on their heads and shoulders, as if all of the blows had come from directly above. Now, to try and find answers to this mystery, I googled everything. Death from above, mysterious dent in skull, can birds fall out of the sky so fast that they kill people? But the key to unraveling this great mystery may lie in an ancient Himalayan folk song.
Really?
That's where it was going this whole time. There was no other path that we could go down, guys. The lyrics to the song talk about Nanda Devi, an angry goddess who executes her wrath on anyone that crosses her. Many activities, whether it's a village festival or a special family event, will begin with an offering that ranges from simple stones, coins, and flowers to animals, as to not piss her off.
Wow.
It sounds weird, but you know, very similar to Christians saying grace before a meal. But that's more to give thanks rather than to not piss off God.
Yeah.
Like, God doesn't have, like, his fist cocked back. He's like, if you don't thank me that for that Subway sandwich, I'm going to punch you in the back of the head.
Subway sandwich.
I'm sending you to the goddamn skeleton lake if you don't thank me for that Big Mac.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like if someone invites you around to their house for Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner, you know, you're kind of expected to bring something, right? Except this is where the host or the cook has their fist cocked back. And if you didn't bring any mac and cheese or any Christmas dessert,
you're going to the skeleton lake, baby.
They will turn you into a skeleton again.
Well, in one song, the lyrics describe this goddess as being so furious at a group of outsiders who defiled her mountain sanctuary that she rained death upon them by flinging hailstones hard as iron from above.
Ooh.
Could this skeleton pile be the remains of travelers who upset the goddess?
One possible theory. They are circular.
Yes.
I think...
From above.
Hail has been known to kill people occasionally, right?
I've seen some videos, but now that I think about it, they might have been from The Day After Tomorrow, the popular apocalyptic movie.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure there are videos where it's like hailstones are like taking out car windshields.
The Day After Tomorrow is as good to me as an ancient Himalayan song.
That's like the ancient Himalayan song for white people.
Yeah.
The Day After Tomorrow.
Culture isn't that old.
No. Or good. So yeah, that kind of makes
sense. So we can really toss out all our old culture and get just stuff with Jake Gyllenhaal in there.
Yeah, running away from the wind and the cold. It doesn't necessarily explain the mysteries surrounding the Skeleton Lake. Some scientists said, look, anytime you find a huge pile of skeletons lying around in the middle of nowhere, it's usually a graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of popular scientific explanation, even though that doesn't answer all the questions. And while yes, it does make almost zero sense why a graveyard this large would be 16,000 feet above sea level, there have been a lot of graveyards uncovered in very strange places throughout history.
Is that so?
So I did a little searching on the internet. I ended up on listverse.com.
Classic.
They had a great article that was 10 ancient mass graves that were only recently found. And I found some good ones from them and a couple other sites. So starting off, while constructing a relief road for the 2012 London Olympics in 2009, construction workers found an ancient mass grave in England. At first, there were questions about who the deceased were and how they got there. However, after their teeth were examined, it was discovered the skeletons were not of ancient Britons and Saxons, but instead they were Scandinavian Vikings, thought to have been killed and buried between 910 and 1030 AD.
Damn, that's wild. Over a thousand year old skeletons.
They're
going to
be
London.
I think like Viking skeletons along with maybe pirate skeletons, probably some of the coolest skeletons you can find.
Yeah, wow.
Because they're going to have like golden teeth and weird little jewels and a big sword, you know?
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised by any of these stories of secret mass graves because, to be fair, in work recently on our company Slack channel, someone linked a BBC article that they were like, hey, by the way, they uncovered a skeleton lake across the road from the office. I think it was like 50,000 bodies or something like that. They uncovered a lot of bodies, a lot of ancient bodies.
By your office?
Yeah, in London.
wondering, the office is looking really shifty. Well, that's so weird. Why would they even bury them here? Wouldn't that be weird if the guy that worked, not that he does work here, but if he did work here, hypothetically, he's like really sweating now, dusting off his dirty hands. It'd be so weird if why would he do it so close? Why would they do it so close?
Yeah,
to the office?
I mean, it is weird, but you know, these guys are pretty ancient, actually hundreds of years old. So
of course,
it's old news.
He
really.
Or she or whoever would have had to have been borderline immortal.
I mean, we don't think that it was like one person really, because you would have to live an incredibly long time to kill that many people.
Yeah,
so it's probably a graveyard or something.
The likelihood that like one guy or woman or child or man. Who just, you know, worked in a London office 2,000 years ago, drank blood from a monkey skull.
Yeah, I mean, there weren't
became
offices
immortal. That would be crazy if that were to happen, and that he would be alive today and burying bodies.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, I'm just gonna take a call real quick. What's that?
Okay.
They found a business card in the pit. They found a business card in the pit where the bodies were.
Oh,
where the thousands and thousands of bodies were. Can you make out the name on it?
I'm gonna work from home today, actually, I think.
Really?
Jessica, could you forward
Brent,
my...
It's a Brent.
Could you forward
there's lots of Brents in the world. I wonder what the last name is. Can you make that out?
Everyone, I think I'm gonna go on leave for a little while. Permanently. It's been great working here. I think it's actually time for old Brent to... you know my name, actually.
What was that? Do you overhear my phone call?
All the tools I'm throwing into my bags are just like a shovel, a knife, an ancient tablet.
An ancient monkey fist. Imagine you had that much power and you still worked in an office in London.
You've been alive for 2,000 years and all you did was just kill and hide the bodies across the road.
Man, if I was alive for 2,000 years and killed thousands of people, I'd be angry if I still had a LinkedIn account.
Grave number 2. While digging the foundation for a new museum on the small island of Lazaretto, a grave containing 1,500 corpses were found. The bodies gave a clear picture about one of the scariest events to sweep across Europe, the Black Plague. I wanted to include this one because this is really, really cool and kind of disturbing. During the 15th and 16th century, this place served as Europe's first quarantine colony for those infected.
Oh, wow.
In 1485, in an effort to end the rapid infection of the population, officials put the infected on a boat, basically, and sent them to this small island. Since the bodies were also known to cause the plague to spread, they were burned on the island rather than transported back to the city.
Good lord.
So it just became this creepy death plague island.
Yeah.
Really, really disturbing. And finally, this is probably my favorite of all the stories that we're going to talk about this evening, about an ancient grave that was discovered recently in 2016. Cylon was a celebrity athlete who won the double foot race in the Olympics during the 7th century BC.
I'm sorry, the double foot race implies the existence of the single foot race?
I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. To run using both feet? He was the Kobe of the 7th century BC.
Seizing upon his celebrity status, he gathered a group of his followers and tried to take the Acropolis.
Remind me what the Acropolis was. Is that the city?
Yeah. Okay. He's basically trying to overthrow the government. He got so hyped on his win that he was like, they're like, the winner is Cylon. The crowd's cheering. He's like, holy, oh my, let's take down the government.
I mean, is there any sports team that could touch that today? Do you think like, the Lakers winning the NBA Finals could do it?
Yeah, I think it weirdly has to be an Olympic athlete.
Okay, like one guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like if Michael Phelps just one day swam so good and everyone was just like, this is mind-blowing. He's a god. Like, we should worship him. And he's
okay.
Like, we should. Every city should have a pool.
How did it feel out there winning the Olympic gold for the United States? President.
What?
I'm the president now. He snaps the interviewer's neck.
Humans, we must go back to the sea. We were meant for the sea.
Full crowd cheering.
Everyone jumping into the pool like the end of a party. They failed, of course. And while Cylon and his core group managed to escape, the remainder of his followers were all caught, rounded up, and killed.
Oh, geez.
Obviously.
That's... impressive, honestly, that he escaped. Although they should have seen it coming, him being the champion foot racer.
At the start, he just kind of took off. And one guard was like, after him. And then the chief was like, there's no point. We'll never catch him.
Send the mayonnaise guy.
Let him
might
go.
Be able to do something.
In April 2016, what is believed to be the graves of his followers were found. 85 men, 36 were bound and shackled.
That's when you know you made a boo-boo, folks, is whenever there's a mass grave named after your mistake.
And you have to use your Olympic ability to flee your hometown. Especially, yeah, if you were like a hero to these people, you were like borderline a god, and you have to kind of run away, you know, get an old cloak with a hood, move to a new town. And people are like, hey, aren't you that guy Cylon who's really good at running? You're like, oh, no, I can barely run at all.
Never run in my life.
Look at me go. And you're doing like a little jog. You're like, is this right? I don't even know how good it is.
He can only do it so fast. They're like, it's pretty good. It's pretty fast.
Sorry. Yeah, it's pretty brutal. I'd like to think that nothing we do will lead to mass graves. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
We do have a lot of followers.
That's true.
And we do make a lot of bad mistakes. But, yeah, fingers crossed.
There was no kind of, you were like, we have a lot of followers and we do make a lot of mistakes. Yeah.
So I guess arguably we do have all the recipe, the ingredients are there for a catastrophe like that. But, you know, here's hoping.
Here's hoping what?
Well, you know, whatever that doesn't happen or whatever. There isn't a mass grave in a thousand years, you know, of all our followers.
Just the way you're wording
it. I just don't know there's that much we can do to stop it. If it's going to happen, it might just is going to happen.
We could try. We could sure as hell try. You could say, you know.
Sounds like work, you know what I mean? Just like putting stuff in place to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's more, I think the things in place.
Given that we could so easily escape because we got the helicopter pad ready to go in case anything kicks off.
You went through with the helicopter pad.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of our Patreon money, by the way, was installing the helicopter pad.
Yeah, it was
pad.
Actually, I had to get Patreon to front us for a couple years to get the helicopter pad. But I really think, given what's around the corner, it's going to be worth
it. Well, now you're talking like it's inevitable. And I asked you when you started work on the pad, I was like, this is fine, but you just got to promise me this isn't to escape.
I said, yeah, it's just for like tourists around the commune, like helicopter little tourists.
That's what you said at the time, but yeah, now it seems like you're
telling
implying
the commune members. You know what I mean? Like you gotta have a front.
But you're also telling them to rise up and take over the government, which is
foolhardy and wrong.
Very wrong. And you've promised
But there's a minute chance they might succeed. And to risk their lives for that minute chance, that's worth it, in my opinion.
You've also promised them if anything goes south that they are guaranteed a spot in the helicopter.
Yeah.
You realize there's almost 20,000 of them.
Well, I've promised them all individually that and said, you're so special. I'm willing to offer you the spot. Honestly, Rory's kind of 50-50 whether he even gets a spot. But between me and you, you're on there. Just keep it to yourself, though. Don't tell anyone else. I did that 20,000 times over.
This is so much work.
Yeah.
For the slight possibility that they will overthrow the government.
I guess when you put it like that, yeah.
You know we're on the podcast right now, right? There's a mic in front of your mouth.
What?
This is going out.
Turn this f***ing shit off.
The sounds of a helicopter escaping into the distance.
And crashing immediately. I should have learned to fly this thing.
You put so much work into structuring this government takeover. You didn't learn to fly the helicopter once. It takes off, gets 2 feet off the ground, and goes straight into a rock.
Just like one of those like videos of someone flying a drone for the first time. It gets 1 foot and then goes 80 miles per hour into the nearest wall.
I like the idea that you're just walking through the paranormal commune. You just overhear two of the members speaking, just being like, oh man, my breath really smells. Have you got a mint? And you're like, government, it's begun. Straight into the helicopter, straight off a cliff. It's like, he's so
just
jumpy.
Shooting wildly.
Yeah, yeah. There can only be one.
You shoot your own propeller. Hit the fuel tank.
It's just 20,000 people just watching you go down over the horizon. Like, he was so weird.
Explosion on the horizon. You walk out, you're like, what did I miss?
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. And every week I bring to you three podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest, and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien. Mm-hmm. All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife. Look, the other thing that we could talk about, which we won't in this podcast, is a lot of people dying up in the Himalayas. Is this possibly the work of the Yeti, the abominable snowman? I didn't see links strong enough for us to have any sort of focus on him for the episode, because I don't think we've done one on the Yeti before.
Right, not the abominable snowman. I
haven't done it, Yeti. So, I'm gonna steer away from that, because I also don't think it has anything to do with the Skeleton Lake. Unless he is like...
Yeah, unless he was famous for his ability to massacre thousands of people.
With a single downward bonk with his large Yeti fist.
With a kettlebell, because it was apparently rounded. Something round. If he was famous for that, maybe. But given he has claws and things and teeth, I think we're all right.
That's a different episode. Maybe a Christmas episode. We'll get like some jingle bells in the background, add a little creepy vibe to it. But that basically ends this investigation today into the Skeleton Lake hidden away in the Himalayas.
Bit of a different one. I liked it a lot.
You know, it does have a paranormal explanation that comes in the form of the ancient Himalayan folk song about the vengeful goddess. But really at its core, it's more of just a strange mystery that was so interesting that I just had to talk about it on the podcast.
Totally. And it's actually, you can totally see where even the legend of the god comes from, because in any other time in history, if you came across that mystery, you would try to solve it in some paranormal way. You'd be like, come on, 800 bodies or thousands of bodies? Like, this has to be a god. It can't be one thing. It can't be hail.
Yeah.
It can't be weather. It can't be even the Yeti.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
It's got to be a god or a demon or something.
Something that can span that many years, 1,000 years, to have skeletons turning up in this lake. So strange. Well, Kit, we don't need to dance around it. I presented you with a lot of evidence for and against this lake being paranormal. What are you coming down on?
Listen, Rory, no one wants to believe in a skeleton lake more than me. You know, what's greater than the idea of an army of skeletons being laid to rest in one creepy location and some paranormal explanation for why they're there?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the skeleton army from Lord of the Rings or something. It's inherently dope and badass. I guess maybe the problem I have is that one of our paranormal explanations is told through history in this Himalayan folk song, but actually the method contained in that folk song for how these people died was hail, wasn't it?
I can see where you're going with this.
So it seems hard to ignore that it could be that ancient peoples tried to understand what happened through paranormal means, but they were actually describing a natural phenomenon. It's like tales of the Great Flood. It's like, okay, maybe God caused the Great Flood, or the earth might have flooded on its own.
Right.
And that's what got passed on through the ages. And similarly here, it's kind of easy to believe that weather could have done this across 1,000 years. But was that caused by an angry god? I'm not sure we have the evidence for that.
It's really weird to have the paranormal reason still so closely linked to just something that can happen in the real world.
Yeah.
It's like someone telling a story about a Bigfoot sighting where Bigfoot killed a guy, but he just pulled out a Glock and shot him in the woods. It's like, okay, well, yeah, they found a body and it had a bullet in it because someone got shot in the woods. Not necessarily because Bigfoot did it. These people possibly died because hail the size of American footballs started raining down and battering them. That could have been just a geological storm, not necessarily the wrath of a goddess.
Totally. But as the investigator in this one, what are you thinking?
Dude, I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. Allow me to be frank. It's all about the Benjamins here, folks. And this one just throws so many turns and spins that you feel like you've been in a tornado after investigating it. We've got all these people from all of these places in the world. That already doesn't make sense. Men, women, and children. So it's not even an expedition. They didn't really have any weapons in the lake, so it wasn't an army. And it was over the span of like 1,000 years, all with similar injuries. The only thing that makes a slight bit of sense is quite possibly the scientific explanation, which was that this was some sort of graveyard. The reasoning behind why these skeletons, I guess they were bodies at the time, were dumped in this lake.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
The reason they were dumped, brought up here and dumped in this lake has been lost. Nobody knows why. Maybe some of the skeletons that were there from more recent times, maybe they were travelers. Maybe they were people who had come up in the Himalayas and gotten lost or fallen down into the lake. But aside from that, I can't think of any explanation, but I also don't have a reason to think it's paranormal.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird one to be in. It's like, I don't have the answers, but I don't think it's paranormal.
I think you're right. I mean, this is, like you said, just falling into a camp of like more unexplained mystery than clear-cut paranormal case.
Yeah. So I think this week, unfortunately, it's going to be a double no.
That's right. Sadly, in the absence of evidence, we can't just round up to a yes. It's got to be a no.
We're in a no drought, folks. Like the skeleton lake itself, it's dried up. The yes lake has dried up. I'm going to try and amend that. I wanted to cover this one because I thought it was a very cool story. But yeah, I don't think we necessarily thought it was leading towards a double yes in terms of whether or not it's paranormal.
Yeah, I don't know how many people we blindsided with that conclusion.
Imagine. What? So a double yes, right? Skeletons in a lake, obviously. So this week it's going to be a double no, but thank you for listening to this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. We're all skeletons, whether you like it or not. Inside you is a skeleton. Inside me is a skeleton.
And if you go onto patreon.com, you can get x-ray specs and you can see everyone in their true skeleton form.
That is on a very, very high tier. As you know, we don't run ads on this podcast. We are ad-free since 2003. That's right. That's when the idea was first conceived. It took us a while to get going on the pod.
I was 12 years old.
So one of the best ways you can support the podcast, even if you don't have any cash, is just by going on your podcast app and leaving us a nice review. It's a free way to help the podcast, helps it spread, helps it grow. We can get more people in the paranormal commune. So when we do overthrow the government, we got a couple foot soldiers ready to charge on the front line.
We really think it's going to work. Don't listen to all that stuff you heard earlier. It's going to work, guys. It's going to work. It's going to work.
And if you do feel like supporting the show even further, then we know the perfect place you can do it. A little website called patreon.com. If you go on that site, you can check it out. We've got tiers and rewards where from the smallest amount of donations, you can get access to a huge catalog of Patreon bonus episodes. When you blast through This Paranormal Life, and like the skeleton lake, the episodes have dried up and you're all out, and you want another juicy drip of the paranormal, we have over, I think now, 30 bonus episodes that as soon as you join the bonus tier, you get access to all of them. You can listen to them right now, along with t-shirts as well and a bunch of other cool rewards. So check it out over on patreon.com. All of the links for what I have mentioned will be in the podcast description in your app, if I remember to add them into the podcast description this time. And as always, if you do support us on Patreon, we like to end the episode by giving you a little special spooky shout out.
Thank you to Damian Walker. Damian Whitewalker is a bit of a skeleton himself.
Ooh.
Kind of an undead army kind of guy.
What do you mean kind of guy? Is he or is he not a skeleton?
Well, he mostly lives like me and you in this world, listening to podcasts, you know, walking around, you know, getting pizza delivered once a week.
All
normal. But he is in a army of the undead.
Okay, so that's not like us, really. He is a White Walker. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, glad you're enjoying the show.
Thank you to Adam Pellington. Adam Pellington, mayor of Wellington. Adam, crazy story. He won silver in the shot put in the Commonwealth Games held in Wellington that year.
Wow.
And as they were giving the gold medalist their medal, he said, "F it, we overthrow Wellington tonight, my friends." No one followed. Everyone was cheering the gold medalist. No one was even looking at the silver medalist.
Of course, yeah. You got to at least win gold if you're going to overthrow the government.
But the mayor was at the games that night, and so no one was in the office when Adam swung in and took control. So it kind of worked.
Well done, Adam.
Thank you to Joseph Darby.
Joseph is bigger than massive. He's mosive. He's what? Enormous. He's mosive. He's absolutely mosive.
That's crazy, man.
It's been that way since birth. He started off the size of a truck.
At birth?
At birth. And ended up the size of a slightly bigger truck.
Okay, so mostly
truck size, which is still pretty impressive.
It is.
So it was good to begin with, and it's good now. He's absolutely mosive.
Thank you to Emily Evans.
Emily has a pretty big family.
Oh, that's nice.
Pretty large family. About 800 skeletons. Oh. All in the bottom of a lake, my friend.
Could I venture to guess? Mm-hmm. Emily might also be, able to guess. Be a skeleton.
Oh, okay. It turns out you could guess. I didn't think you were going to get that. But yes, she is okay. A skeleton.
Thank you to Adam Taylor.
Adam Taylor, the paranormal sailor, only investigator brave enough to face the icy waters of the Skeleton Lake.
Oh, holy smokes.
People told him, it's like, you just learned how to sail. You should probably start on like calm waters or a river. And he was like, no. He dragged his boat 16,000 feet up the Himalayan mountains. That thing was heavy as hell.
Holy moly. If you weren't a skeleton by the time you started that journey... Probably by the time you get up 16,000 feet.
He didn't leave the lake, that's for sure.
Thank you to Heather the Meme.
Heather is pretty good at predicting the weather. And her current prediction is 90% chance of giant hail balls raining down from above. That's right, someone upset the icy goddess once again.
Is this like here?
It's here.
Holy.
We need to go into a bunker.
Jesus.
These things are going to be they're going to be absolutely massive, the size of trucks.
Thank you also to Scott Perry.
Also nicknamed Scott Perry Mid for his money-saving schemes that he has rolled out throughout the paranormal commune.
I don't know if that's a money-saving scheme.
You save money, so you make money. Wait, you make money, so you save money. Is that what he told you? He said a lot of things, but he was very handsome and he charmed me.
Thank you to Angie Voss. Angie Voss is an angry boss. Not the kind of person you want to miss that report deadline with.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because they will bring their large circular fist into your head and kill you on the spot.
And you know where you're ending up after that, so we don't have to mention it. It's a lake. A bony lake.
Right, sure. He went without saying. Thank you to LaDale Turner. Watch out for the hail, Turner! Oh, it's too late. Jesus, that was gruesome.
Oof.
Our newest and most recently deceased member of the commune. I hope you can enjoy bonus episodes from the lake. Thank you to Izzy.
I don't know if Izzy human, Izzy ghost, Izzy beast. But whatever Izzy is, Izzy has ears and can somehow listen to the show. So I hope they enjoy it.
That's nice. Just to confirm, Izzy is a beast with no ears. But
oh, damn it!
Yeah. Thank you to Zachary Hardy.
Zachary Hardy is the Paranormal Commune's night watchman. But Zachary Hardy is actually hardly on patrol.
What's he doing?
He actually gets pretty sleepy at nighttime, like most humans.
Oh.
So he clocks on about 8:30 and conks out about 9:45.
Yeah. I mean, that's even early for someone who sleeps at night.
Yeah.
He doesn't even make it to like midnight or something.
He's wrecked. He is wrecked.
Does he at least get up early and try and pretend to finish the shift?
Oh, 100%, yeah. He'll sometimes just grab a random person off the street and be like, I arrested this person last night when I was doing my goddamn job. It's like, Zachary, you just woke up 3 minutes
ago. Zachary, we can transfer you to the day shift if you would prefer. No, I refuse.
I won't be able to sleep during the day, idiot.
I'm sleeping on the job. But you don't have a job now. Thank you to Selena.
Selena, we should call you Skelina. Where is your flesh? Where are your eyes? Where's your heart? What's it like being a skeleton? I've thought about transferring myself, but I want someone to do it first and tell me what it's like. Is it cold? It looks cold. Just let me know. Just let me know.
I'm just imagining she talks back and it's just...
Yeah.
It's a lot of chattering or of just bones.
Like, what's it like being a skeleton? Okay, all right. I think I'm going to stay human for now, probably.
Is that good? Thank you to Claudia Nicholson. Claudia Nicholson has found herself in a pickle, son. She is simply drowning amid a sea of skeletons, trying to, you know, reach out for anything she could hold on to not go under, but...
It's just more bones.
Yeah, bone after bone after bone.
Elodia? Think Claudia is gonna make it, but I can assure you she's gone. She's Gaudia.
Thank you to Katie Wood.
Katie Wood, Queen of the Forest, made entirely out of polystyrene.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, but no one's questioned it so far.
Made out of polystyrene, interesting.
Yeah, but it kind of looks a little bit like wood. So every time someone is like, hey, are you sure you're actually Queen of... She goes, silence! And then a breeze takes her away because she's so light. So she's getting away with it.
If I was made of polystyrene, I wouldn't want to be queen of the polystyrene kingdom.
True. That place sucks.
Thank you to CGB. Wow, it's lovely to know that a color game...
If you are somebody who loves all things spooky, then Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast is the one for you. My name is Emma. I am the host of Real Life Ghost Stories Podcast. And every week I bring to you 3 podcast episodes that are full to the brim with paranormal stories. Every Wednesday and Friday, I release a mini episode, which is dedicated to the spooky stories of our listeners. And every Sunday, we deep dive into a famous paranormal case. You can find Real Life Ghost Stories wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy has become animate somehow and has started connected to the internet, apparently, and managed to download This Paranormal Life and become a patron. Cool to know.
Amazing. I hope all the other Nintendo products get involved. A Switch, a GameCube, N64. I want them all to listen, the whole family.
Thank you to Lars Stiklestad.
Lars wants to be the first man on Mars.
Is that right?
He has no formal education of engineering or, you know, space exploration, but he can jump pretty high. And he thinks if he just trains, one day he can jump the barrier to the NASA headquarters and steal a rocket.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. I thought you were going to say jump to Mars.
What are you, a dumbass? No.
Thank you to Keith Curtis.
Keith Curtis, tell me where the shirt is. I recently purchased a 32-karat gold t-shirt for the paranormal commune. I know times have been hard, and I really thought if these peasants saw me in a golden shirt, it would motivate them to see that their lord is doing so well. Curtis stole it, and I think he tried to, like, Robin Hood style distribute pieces of it out to the commune everyone could have a bit of the emperor's shirt. But enough of your games! I'm cold and my nipples are exposed. I need my golden top.
You don't have any other tops?
I refuse to wear the clothes of the peasants, lest I be confused as one.
Well, you're currently topless with showing your nipples, so you're kind of lower than a peasant currently. Thank you to Stephanie Bryant. Stephanie Bryant, the skeleton giant. She is kind of a megazord, if you will,
She's
of
Mosif.
Other skeletons. She is beyond Mosif.
Wow, that's too many things going on to be abnormally large and also a skeleton.
Pretty cool to just hold on to that name Stephanie, though. Through it all.
Through it all. I like that. I like that a lot.
Thank you, lastly but not leastly, to Fred Barton.
Fred, you are dead if you don't track down my golden t-shirt. All right, the weather is changing. It's getting cold and my nips could cut glass over here. I need a t-shirt.
I don't think that's even going to be a warm t-shirt, though.
No, it's incredibly uncomfortable and not very flexible either. It's borderline a suit of armor. But the emperor wears what the emperor must wear. Okay. And I'm the emperor and I must wear gold.
Can I ask what you're wearing on your bottom half?
Golden 3/4 length shorts.
I think you need like some, like you keep saying, oh, it's so cold, but you're currently topless wearing shorts.
They're not really shorts. Metal They're shorts. Two slabs of gold that I've kind of forced my way into. It's very hard to pee in them.
Okay.
And my pee's gold,
this
by the
bad.
Way, because I've been drinking gold. Thank you to Fred, and thank you to everyone that we shouted out. Very exciting that next week will be our Halloween special for this year. Oh my god, another year flying by. So get excited for that. We'll be coming back at you next Tuesday. So I hope you have a very spooky week. And until then, we'll see you later.
Ciao.